scripture reader.
Good morning. Our scripture today is from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Were there other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has been made well, has made you well." This is a reading of God's word.
Thank you, BJ. I appreciate it. Cliff had stepped up to my office to find my glasses. Thought I had them in my pocket. I looked for them before and they've been in my hand, you know. Where are talking on the phone? Where's my phone? You know. I cannot see that far. I need 175s. Are they 175s? Maybe Cliff will find mine. I know I had them. I'll just suffer somehow. Reverend Doug Henry tells about a television commercial from Citibank. And we've seen all these kind of commercials for credit cards, but the bank wanted a way to say thank you to their new customers, so they came up with an idea of a rewards program that we're all very familiar with now, where you could earn cash back for using their card. And one of the commercials involved two ladies in a grocery store, and one lady had her put her hand on the stomach of another lady and asked her, "When is your baby due?" The woman looks at her and says, "I'm not pregnant." Oops. Not knowing what else to say, the woman replies, "Thank you." With the simple reply, "Thank you," the offended woman targets or forgets the insulting words that the woman has said to her, and the two women embrace. Citibank then flashed their slogan across the screen that states, "It's amazing what a simple thank you can do." And it's also amazing what a simple thank you can do for other people. And who isn't disappointed when you do something for someone and they fail to say thank you? It happened to Jesus at least once that we know of. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's traveling through the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going into a village. 10 men with leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." One of them, Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," and they went when they were cleansed of the leprosy. One of them, a Samaritan, seeing that he was healed, came back praising God, but the other 9 went away and didn't say thank you to Jesus, and he told the one, "Go, your faith has made you well." So where are the other 9? That's a question that pastors and Sunday school teachers and junior church leaders and Vacation Bible School teachers have been asking for 2,000 years. 10 were healed, but only one bothered so much to thank him. Not any thank you notes from the other when they got home and sent him a message. We don't know where they were, but I'm glad that you are in God's house today to say thank you to God. It's important to say thank you. I hope that's why you're here, out of a genuine sense of gratitude for what God has done for you in your life. It's important to say thank you, whether to God or whether we say it to other people for things that they have done for us. Paul Tansley wrote an article in Guideposts of a man who was greatly influenced in his life, and the man's name was Tisdale. During the week, he was a bus driver, but on Sunday morning, he taught Sunday school. At age of 15, Perry decided that he would drop out of Sunday school. Thank you. In the bathroom. Thank you. I can see. He thought to himself, no one is going to miss me. So he was surprised when a week or so later, Mr. Tisdale came to his home. Perry tries even now to think why Mr. Tisdale's visit made such an impression on him. Maybe it was a concern revealed on Mr. Tisdale's face. Or maybe it was the fact that Mr. Tisdale didn't drive up in his car, but he walked a mile to the boy's house to tell him he was missed in Sunday school. Whatever it was, it worked. Perry turned to Sunday school and later became a well-known pastor. 25 years later, Perry felt a strong urge to write Mr. Tisdale a letter of appreciation and said, Mr. Tisdale, had you not walked up that road that day and placed your hand on my shoulder, the shoulder of a discouraged boy who needed desperately to know someone cared, I might not be a minister today. Thank you very much. A week later, he received a reply. Dear Perry, your word came shortly after a near-fatal heart attack. Your words were better for me than any doctor's prescription. I've been reviewing my life, and I've been wondering if I'd ever done anything worthwhile. How glad and thankful I am that I walked that mile to win you back for the Sunday school. Your letter has brought me courage and comfort. It's important to say thank you to people. We never know how much it might mean to them. In Second Helping of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Reverend John Ramsey tells about how in his church, a certain person provided him with a rose lapel to wear in the pulpit each Sunday. At first he really appreciated it, but then it became kind of a routine. But then one Sunday it became very special and took on a whole new meaning. As he was leaving the Sunday service, a young boy walked up to him and said, sir, what are you going to do with that flower? And at first he didn't even realize, you know, what flower, he was just so used to wearing it. He said, oh, the rose on my lapel, do you mean this? And the boy said, yes, sir, if you're just going to throw it away, I would like to have it. The preacher smiled and told them that he could have the flower, and then he casually said, well, what are you going to do with this flower? The boy is probably no more than 10 years old. He looked up at the preacher and said, sir, I'm going to give it to my granny. My mother and father divorced last year. I was living with my mother, but she remarried, and they didn't want me to be there. So I went to live with my father, and he told me I couldn't stay there any longer. So I went to live with my grandmother. She's so good to me. She cooks for me. She takes care of me. She has been so good to me that I wanted to give her that pretty flower for loving me as a way to say thank you. The pastor was just about to break down in tears, and he said, you know, you can't have this flower. But if you go to the front of the church, there's a bouquet of flowers that members purchase each Sunday. You can take those and take them home to your grandmother to say thank you. Then the boy made one last statement, which Reverend Ramsey says that he will always treasure. Little boy, 10-year-old little boy said, what a wonderful day. I asked for one flower, and I got this beautiful bouquet. That's the thankful spirit. That's the gratitude attitude that we all need to have in our lives. That is the kind of thing that should guide our giving. It should guide our everyday living. Like that boy's granny, God has blessed us so very much. God has been so good to us that giving of ourselves and our money shouldn't even be a question. It should just flow from us naturally. It's really important to say thank you. Jesus healed the 10 men with leprosy, but only one came back to say thank you. But how could they truly be healed both physically and spiritually if they did not have a sense of gratitude within their hearts? That's why Thanksgiving Day is really so important. We get caught up in all the hype of it, but Thanksgiving is really about a time to stop and say thank you to God for what He has done for us, for everything. You know, God is all sufficient. He doesn't have to have us say it, but it is you and it is I who need to say thank you to God. Saying thanks is a way of reminding ourselves of what we have that we owe to God. It's so easy in affluent culture to think that the blessings we enjoy have all been earned by our own efforts and our own talents. We forget the people who gave of themselves that we might have this land of plenty. And it's easy to forget that God is the source of every blessing in our lives. When Queen Victoria celebrated 60 years on the British throne in 1897, the nation threw a grand party, as they still do that kind of thing. And everyone turned out, it seemed like, and Parliament commissioned Rudyard Kipling, the greatest poet of the day, to write a national song. They expected a song praising the splendor of the British Empire, and instead Kipling's verse was recessional. And after each verse, it ended with this haunting refrain: "Lord, God of hosts, lest we forget. It's so easy for us in our daily lives to forget about God, who is blessing us on a daily, just every day. And the more we have, it seems like it is more tempting to forget to thank God for what we have. Affluence can cause us not only to feel entitled, it can cause us to actually look down on those who have not been as blessed as we are. If we have the heart of Christ, that is the last thing we would do. Rather, our sentiments about this would be like those expressed by this unknown author. He says, "Even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are many who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. Many are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of the day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, and tempers are short, and the children are running around screaming so loud, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are alone. Even though our breakfast table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who go hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no job. Even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my circumstances were not so modest, thank you, Lord, for my life." I think that we need to be reminded, and we need to remind ourselves, that God is the source of everything that we have in this world and in our lives and in our personal possessions. Everything we have, we owe back to God. When we say thank you, it's a reminder of the one who is the source of everything. It's important to say thank you. It reminds us that everything we have is a gift from God. Is there someone that you need to say thank you to? I hope you'll think about it and tell them thank you. Is there someone for whom you could do a random act of kindness to show your gratitude to God for the blessings He's given you? Is there a way to say thank you to God by serving in God's church and in your community? And I'd be remiss on this stewardship Sunday if I did not say that giving your tithes and giving your offerings to God is an important way to say thank you for all the blessings you have in your life. May God bless you this day. And thank you. I want to say thank you for being a part of Glenshaw Valley and for all that you do and for allowing me these many years to be your pastor. Amen.